guard only vehicle.
Good evening, everybody. This is Martin Horst on ET First Contact Radio. Tonight I have a very special guest, and I'm going to introduce him to you. His name is Robert Potter. He is a father, a brother, a patriot, a citizen of the universe, and he is a son. He has been involved in the UFO movement for over 45 years and has had many personal friends who are physical contactees. He also had many close and personal encounters with UFOs and has met with several space brothers and sisters through the years, though they remain incognito. He has a unique view on the spiritual message of the extraterrestrials and the Earth's ancient history and cosmic density. So, welcome, Robert.
Thank you, Martin. It's wonderful to be here with you and your guests. You're back there in the Netherlands, is that correct?
That's correct. I'm in Rotterdam, and of course BBS Radio is in California, and we have a worldwide audience, you know, people listening in from, I think, 222 countries or something.
Yeah, that's wonderful. I've actually worked with several of the other hosts and have been familiar with them. You know, I can introduce myself to your guests a little bit. I'll give a little brief history of my own personal experiences, and then I'll let you go ahead and ask any questions you want. When I was about 8 years old, I had my first experience. I'd asked my mother. I kind of felt the world was kind of messed up and with a lot of problems, and I was starting to question things. And I asked my mom, I said, what's out there in the universe? And she said, goes on forever, and my little mind couldn't comprehend it. And I said, what do you mean it goes on forever? It's got to end. She goes, no, there. You know, what do you think there is, a wall? And I said, I don't know, maybe. And she said, what's on the other side? And that night I sat and I was thinking. And as I was thinking, I looked outside the window in my bedroom late at night, at 8 years old, late might have been 9 o'clock, but I saw a light coming in and it started flashing in kind of rainbow colors, and I started to receive some impressions about life and some things. And flash forward now to about the age of 17, when I was at the high school, and I had a deep interest in the ancient mysteries of the world, particularly the pyramids and psychic phenomenon. And living in Laguna Beach, a friend of mine told me, oh, I know the Pyramid Man. And I met a gentleman named Fred Bell, who's also been on the show. He's a former NASA scientist.
Yeah, I've heard his name. Yeah.
Yeah, and he's having contacts with the people from the Pleiadians. Now, at the time, I was working up there and helping him sell his pyramid products, some of which he received the technology and the understanding from his experiences with the Pleiadians. And I know there's some controversy regarding this and the Billy Meyer thing, because he claims to contact the same individuals. But at this early age, you know, I was very interested and open-minded about these kind of things. And Fred has a kind of unique personality. He's not always the warm and fuzziest kind of guy, but he is the real deal. And I personally was experiencing a phenomenon around his house. In his we'd create these energy vortexes using pyramids, crystals, and lasers and sound to help uplift the vibration of the human aura and create a transcendental experience where you could kind of experience, get out of your body a little bit. And late at night I would come home and there were these lights following me, and I wasn't really making the connection. And I wanted to know about these UFOs, and he was not very open. He wanted me to have my own experience. And so I was learning from other individuals about the extraterrestrials. It made a lot of sense to me that, we're not the only people in the universe, and that in order to change the planet, we don't need to go back to teepees and live in mud huts, although we need to have the respect for nature and the attunement to Gaia. So the extraterrestrial stepping stone to reintroduce us to the universal family made a lot of sense to me. And
yes,
there was an individual named Gabriel Green, who was one of the earliest contactees. He ran for president with a gentleman named Daniel Fry in 1963. And I think they got 4 electoral votes, and they gave their votes to John Kennedy and helped him win. But Gabriel Green called me up once, and he said, Rob, I want you to come to my house. I'm sending a teacher. And I already told you a little of this story, Martin, but to make a long story short for your listeners, an underground agent from the government who used to work in the underground bases, he was a military guard, had broken his mind control programming, and he came there and basically took us out in the desert and said a UFO is going to come in here, Rob. And I received a telepathic contact as a UFO appeared with 4 other witnesses. There were no drugs, no drinking, nothing whatsoever. And a female voice in my head said, well, Rob, now you know. And I started crying because I had been very conflicted about these experiences I was having with Fred. I wasn't sure. I didn't know. Is it real? Is it not? And finally, I had this experience and out in the open. And from that point on, I've never really needed to see any UFOs to know. I actually had my own personal up-close encounter, and it was a positive experience, although I have had many other encounters. I've also become close friends with different UFO contactees. Another one was Hal Wilcox, and I've spent time with Sheldon Neidell and, of course, Alex Collier. And then one of my closest recent friends was Dr. Frank Stranges, who was able to go on board the spaceships whenever he wanted. And he was working with a Venusian named Commander Valiant Thor, who landed in Alexander, Virginia in the 50s and was taken to Eisenhower and was a guest at the Pentagon. And he relayed many spiritual, exciting things to Dr. Frank, and I'd be happy to share them. So with that brief history of my own experience, so that people know that I'm not just a person, I am just a person who really has no credentials. I'm not a doctor. I haven't worked in the government. I'm not a scientist. I'm an average layperson with a sincere desire to know and an intense spiritual nature of seeking. So
yes.
Through knocking on the door, I've had some answers.
That last phone conversation, I really appreciated all the things you told me. And I value, of course, all your experiences, and of course, this radio program is provided to you so that you can share this with the listeners. So, in our last phone call, you told me something about Commander Valiant Thor, what happened to him, and when he was detained. So, maybe it's interesting for the listeners to know a bit more about this Phoenician guy, Commander Valiant Thor.
Yes, Commander Valiant Thor, Dr. Frank Stranges, to give a little prehistory, was a former Secret Service agent and a theological doctor of divinity in the ministry. He was a very spiritual man, and he had sought out the truth of the life of Christ, and he was very interested in the extraterrestrial phenomenon, and because of his Secret Service experience, he knew people in Washington, and he made himself a bit of a nuisance in the 50s when the extraterrestrials started taking the message openly to the people. He wanted to know what was going on. And, of course, the governments, as we all know, the government secrets have been the position is to hold a lid on the extraterrestrial phenomenon. And that's it's a very complex subject, and for those who contemplate this for a long time, the answers will come to you, and it will make sense if one has a spiritual maturity. But Dr. Frank was lecturing in Washington, and a woman, the story is that Commander Valiant Thor had landed in Alexander, Virginia, was taken to Dwight Eisenhower with Secret Service, sheriffs, police departments, military officers, all in tow, and he met Dwight Eisenhower, and he says, are you the ones we have been seeing in the skies as of recently? He says, no, that's not my particular ships, but we know of them, and we are here to offer our hand in friendship to the people of the Earth. We are here to help you in your advancing technologies, to be careful with the nuclear power. They wanted us to end our current program of nuclear warhead development. They wanted to help us in health, education, science, transportation, and communication openly with the peoples of the Earth. Eisenhower was given a particular book. It was made of crystal, very thin crystal, and the commander, it was written in a foreign language of symbols, but the commander, whoever he wanted to, would have the power to understand the reading of the book. Now, Eisenhower had was in positions of power, of course, by those secret forces that everyone talks about behind the scenes, many of them with many different agendas, some of them just greedy individuals, some of them unknowing the entire scene. But behind the scenes, these are controlled by some very, let's say, dark characters, who are seeking literally world domination and control at the expense of humanity. So these interests, after it took several years for them to reply completely to the commander, but they rejected these offers of help. Now, Eisenhower told Commander Valiant Thor that he would be a guest of the United States government, and they put him in a, he was supposed to be in a room at the Pentagon. Now, Eisenhower did not know this, but the military officers were very suspicious and were very aggressive with the commander, and they put him in a prison. Now, the commander basically has the ability to go invisible, to teleport, read people's minds. He's not exactly human. In fact, he's special. He's a unique being to even the Venusians. When he appeared on the planet Venus, and the people live in the interior of the planet Venus in a slightly different time-space continuum and dimension, he appeared, he is what is known as a created being, or like an Elohim. He wasn't born on the physical, in a physical world type situation. And he came here with a specific mission, and the mission is of what you would know as the Galactic Federation, and that is to bring light and truth to the planet at the behest of one of the greatest teachers of the this current local universe, the incarnation of which we would know as Jesus Christ, but may have been called a different name. But the point of the matter is that he's here on a spiritual mission, upliftment for the individual. And it's important that people know the extraterrestrials are not here to fix things for us. We've created our own mess. We're responsible for it. We cannot be played as the victims. We must take responsibility for our situation, though we have had foreign regressive extraterrestrials who have been manipulating the Earth. They've actually manipulated humanity genetically. They've been manipulating the Earth's political situation for thousands of years. And
yes, I'm aware of that. Yeah,
and it's time for that to be ended. And as this, as the universe must seek balance, as this interferences take place, the human soul has cried out for help, and these cries are now being answered. And so what's happening now is a reintroduction to humanity through the advanced technology that we have of the truth. The truth is coming forth, and God's creational laws will be taught openly to man, and man will respond eventually without the interference of these negative, regressive, or in the biblical terms, fallen angels who have come here and worked secretly behind the scenes and have manipulated the different teachers and created religions and priesthoods and rituals to confuse mankind and to control information. So that is his mission here, is to uplift the planet and to help humankind to understand the truth. And these forces of the commander, he is the commander of 12 flagships. These are called Victor-class spaceships. They are 100 yards in diameter. There are 12 of them that exist in various locations on the planet, some physically on the planet, some actually hovering in a fixed position above the planet, in 12 different locations on the planet. Each of these ships have two sister ships that remain completely invisible, as do these ships also. And these are monitoring ships to protect the main ship that is the, let's say, the hub of monitoring of the world situation. And so we know we're in good hands. They monitor the thoughts, words, and deeds of many individuals in positions of power, and they monitor the thought, words, and deeds and the actions of those with every nuclear weapon, every anthrax spore, every biological weapon. These things are monitored, and they have a code of non-interference, but at a certain point, there are lobbies and there are various councils that decide on how much interference to protect the innocent evolving souls on the surface of the planet to our own destruction. We will not be allowed to be manipulated into complete and total destruction. They are doing their best to help us.
Yes, and of course, with the cry of humanity for help, they get a kind of permission by the higher realms to interfere.
That is correct, Martin. I would agree with that. Now,
yes.
Go ahead. I'll do a little more on the commander here because that's where you want
sure.
the question to go.
Sure.
So
sure.
the commander, after having this talk, was placed in a prison, a little jail cell. Now, Eisenhower and Nixon both met him, and when they found out he had been mistreated, they were upset. At one point, the military officers they took his spacesuit, which, of course, is like a rainbow silver suit. It has no seams. You push it together. It's impervious to bullets, lasers, acid. It's, they did all the tests on him. They wanted him to give him their secrets. They said, how do you go so fast? How do you disappear? How come our engines go dead when our jets get close to you? They wanted to know all the military applications. And, of course, if anyone understands the true nature of spirituality and the law of allowance and the law of will, the law of love, and these various universal principles, you would recognize that they don't have classes. They say, listen, when we land, eventually it's going to happen. When we have open interplanetary, intercultural exchange with your peoples, our gifts of the truth of universal law that will be played out to your people are to be given to all peoples. They are not to be lorded over by your elite to manipulate and to, in an egotistical way, to subjugate your less aware people or your people who have less money. All souls are equal in the eyes of the Creator. Now, it's not a question of better or worse, it's a question of more or less. Some are more evolved than others. And it seems as though we've allowed those who have the more egotistical, less evolved spiritual consciousness seem to be in the positions of power. And it's been created that way, which is a whole other story. But Commander Thor, they held him down, and they beat him up. They tried to beat him up. They tried to put needles in his arms. The needles broke. Dr. Frank said eventually he stood up and said, that's enough. The next person that touches me, that will be his last move on this planet. And I was surprised because they're very nonviolent. I said, what did he mean by that? And he says, he probably would have dematerialized him and put him on one of the salt moons on Pluto. On the salt mines in Pluto. So it seems as though this gentleman had these tremendous powers of bilocation, and he's basically he actually kind of looked like Superman. If you look at the pictures of Commander Valiant Thor, all of your listeners can look up the name Dr. Frank Stranges. If you Google him, you will see NICUFO, NICUFO, .org, and that's the National Investigative Committee of UFOs, and Dr. Frank passed away, but after his initial speech in Washington, a woman who had met Commander Thor, and Commander Thor had told her to go retrieve Dr. Frank and bring him to the Pentagon. Dr. Frank went into the Pentagon through three levels of security with the help of Commander Valiant Thor taking over the minds of the guards, and he walked right in and met Commander Valiant Thor, and it began a over 50-year relationship with the commander that eventually made Dr. Frank one of the earthly representatives of what's called the Council of 12, and they would meet several times a year on the Victor 1 spaceship in Lake Mead, and they would discuss various situations in the Earth, and the primary emphasis was asking the Earth people's opinions on various things that were going on and the various councils that were adjudicating to various decisions involving the problem of bringing the light to the people. So it's an extremely complex subject involving lots of understanding. I know the story may sound completely fantastic and unbelievable to some of your viewers, but that's okay. Time will reveal the truth. So,
yes.
If you have any other questions on there, I can some of the messages are very good, but you go ahead and ask me any question you want. We have left.
I have a question that is important for many listeners who are involved in the UFO community and in extraterrestrials, because according to many channels that we read from the Galactic Federation and that I also promote, it seems that very soon there will be an announcement from the government that we are not alone and that they are benevolent and that they are here. How do you see this? How do you see this will develop?
Well, this is a very complex subject. First of all, there really is no first contact. We've been constant contact since biblical times. The Earth humanity...
I'm asking about disclosure, about an announcement from...
Right. That's been a big subject lately. Sheldon was talking about this in 19... I knew him in 94 or something, and, you know, his channels don't change much. Let me say one thing about channels I think is important for people to understand, that the good guys, the forces of light, are seeking those souls who are awakened and advanced enough to be open to telepathic communication. And they do impress and download mostly spiritual information of a positive, uplifting nature that gives hope and awareness to people. Now, the average person who is receiving these contacts, they can only receive that which their personality and their belief system and their experience will allow them to understand and comprehend. Certain messages may not come through. So with every, quote, channel, and there are many real, and there are many who are, the government has programs of coming in and, taking over channelings through their technology and giving disinformation. So with the channeling information, I think we should take it with a big grain of salt and digest it and feel with it. But, yes, the effort has been to encourage the governments to release this information. We have this problem that those in positions of power, there is always a secret government that has no problem with murdering and hiding the truth and swatting away through violence and assassination those who interfere with the other extraterrestrial groups that are trying to take over the planet. So, yes, there is been a movement with the good extraterrestrials who monitor the world's intelligence agencies, the world's military agencies, the world's Air Force pilots who chase them, and they monitor these people's thoughts. They can see the aura, so to speak, and they know the integrity and the character of the person. So just as the Dark Force has been entrenched here in secret underground bases and has been encouraging the New World Order, the Nazi-type control, Illuminati, Bilderberger, IMF, World Bank depopulation program, and world domination, there have been secretly behind the scenes also the Earth allies of the positive forces. Colonel Wendell Stevens also was a good friend of mine, Harold Menger, and Colonel Stevens, of course, you will remember from his UFO contact from UMO, the attempts made to contact various members of the world's intellectual and scientific and financial and educational elite to bring forth dialogues and discussions of understandings of new ways of thinking that are more in tune with creational laws. Now, some of these intellectual elites rejected the notion outright of where the information came from, or they were interested in the information. Very few of them were willing to openly say, I'm receiving information I believe is from extraterrestrials, and it's interesting. They basically were simply influenced by the informational exchanges that were given through various physical contactees. And the reason this is limited, so that your readers or your listeners will understand, is that the military governments, Billy Myers had, 15 attempts on his life. So the average contactee is under tremendous physiological and psychological stress. If he's known to be a real contactee, there will be assassination attempts. They will try to interfere with his mission. So the average UFO group does not want to they have to put on immense security details of watching their contactees. So they choose them very carefully, the physical contactees, the ones who are instrumental, and they like to keep them secret. Now, Dr. Frank had several attempts on his life also. And one time in particular in the 60s when they still landed on the tarmac, he was going to visit Commander Valiant Thor at Lake Mead, Nevada, and a limousine pulled up right onto the airport, and he thought it was the commander's people, and he got in, and he smelled cigar smoke. He said it was strange because the commander's people never smoke, of course. And as he was driving, these military guys pulled him out in the desert. He says, wait a minute, we're not going to the ship. And he all of a sudden realized what was happening. These military guys took him out, and they started to beat him up. They go, where's the commander? Where's the ship? What's going on? And at that moment, Commander Valiant Thor and his vice commander, Don, materialized. Commander Don raised his hand into the air, and all four tires turned to liquid and melted. He said Commander Don threw one of the men off of them, and Commander Valiant Thor threw the other one off, and Commander Valiant Thor, they both of these men dematerialized. Then Don reached into the driver, reached in through the window, pulled him through the door onto the ground, and he disappeared. And he said he looked at Commander Valiant Thor and was thinking, my God, what happened to them? And the commander said simply, let's just say they have been displaced. So they've obviously been, they may be held in some sort of universal galactic prison, or who knows what happened to them. He never found out. But the commander had told him once before in Germany, he was giving a UFO lecture in the early 60s, and an assassin came to him and started asking, where can I contact Valiant Thor, etc., and they gave him ground glass. He started to bleed. But the person who was sponsoring him in Germany had been impressed mentally to create a certain concoction. He was a chemist, and he created a concoction, and he was told, you will know when to give this and to whom to give it. And he had this, carried this package with him, and when Dr. Frank began bleeding, he gave him this package, he drank it, and he stopped bleeding. He was healed. And Dr. Frank was very trusting, and the commander told him, listen, Dr. Frank, I've warned you repeatedly to use discernment in who you contact. You know, your mission is important. You're under great danger. So the Galactic Federation does choose physical contactees, and they protect them. So with that in mind, there have been a number of secret contactees that are working behind the scenes, some of them on faith and some of them through actual genuine contacts. Some of them are working on board motherships. They are clear. Many Earthlings are going up and having experiences and learning about fluid hydrodynamics, advanced technologies. There is a kind of a super elite ground crew that is being trained into a plan, if you will, to introduce humanity to the fact that we're not alone. Now, this first disclosure, I personally don't see the government doing this because the media is controlled by the tentacles of the dark force. I believe, personally, what's going to happen is that, as we have seen, there have been a major increase in extraterrestrial sightings. They are slowly, so as not to blind people to the intensity of the revelation of the truth of their existence, because of the mental programming that people have through the media, television, of the fear of the unknown in extraterrestrials, to show their benevolent nature slowly, so that eventually the media will not be able to deny their existence. And at a certain point, they will openly address the United Nations and communicate to the Earth certain things. There is going to be, you know, tremendous changes in understanding of the true spiritual nature of the spiritual teachers, Muhammad, Christ, Buddha, Krishna, and many others, Gopal Singh, many of the other lineages of light which have given the truth to humanity again and again, only to have it turned into a personality worship or a misunderstanding and a worship of the messenger instead of the message of the omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent power of creation. And one of the creational messages is that you are the creator. You don't need to go to anyone else. Don't give your power to anyone else. Look within to the eternal Christ or Krishna or Buddha consciousness within yourself through developing your spiritual centers. And one of the messages of Commander Valiant Thor of how to do this is to do an exercise that they call invoking the light. And this is done through understanding the body's light body. Your physical body has an electromagnetic body. You have electricity that runs through your body. Electricity carries magnetism, so your aura is merely your electrical field. But in reality, it's your soul or magnetic body that creates electricity in your body. In your body, you have seven centers. These seven centers are known as chakras or wheels, and these seven centers correspond to seven endocrine glands, the sexual glands, the pancreas, the adrenals, the spleen, the thymus, the thyroid, pituitary, and pineal. So thus we have the third eye, and in the biblical, when thine eye be singled, thy body be full of light. So by studying some of the Eastern studies of meditation or the inner mysteries of the Christian, whichever religion you're comfortable with is fine. You're going to come to the truth of the nature of yourself through self-introspection and contemplation and going within. The intellect only takes you so far. The Tibetans have a saying, the mind is the slayer of the real. And through focusing your feelings and your consciousness through meditation, you can attain an attunement with the mind and merge your mind with the mind of the Creator. So through invoking the light in silence and literally taking your eyes and looking up into your upper forehead, energy follows thought. And by doing a balanced and rhythmic breathing process known as the breath of fire, or through a more gentle breathing process known as Kriya Yoga, which is called the science of the still breath, or it actually reflects to meditate, which comes from the Latin meditare, to wait in the middle. So by waiting in the middle of the breath and following the breath form, each person can become attuned to the true nature of their own consciousness and feeling and become aware of the process of becoming, and you become your own guru through attuning your own mind to the universal mind of the Creator. And there are many, many challenges to this, but as each person uses a guide or a teacher along this way, I would recommend not to focus on the personality of the teacher or to give your personal power over to the person, but to recognize yourself.
I must tell you, I have made that mistake, and I believe many others have made the mistake to follow a person or follow his personality. But the most important is to be aware of the information of creation or of truth, of awakening.
Right.
And
on,
the information is what's important. It's not a person, it's the information.
Yeah, exactly. And sometimes information is just words. Like, as you hear, I just go off and I can just keep going forever on all kinds of subjects. I love I got Secrets of the Inner Earth, the pyramids, and writings that are being kept secret from the public, all kinds of stuff. But so I do believe the disclosure is coming. We all hope it's imminent, but we have seen some attempts by Stephen Greer. I've seen the Canadian Minister of Defense. Certain governments have been in communication with the ETs, and they're telling them, listen, you better tell the truth. You better start coming out because, we want to do it in a friendly way, but the Earth is being destroyed, and we're not going to allow that to happen, and we're going to interfere with these plans of world domination and control, and you have to realize that these plans you have are futile. So, we're not here to take over. We're here to release your chains and let you grow. But the first step is for people to understand all of the negativity and the problems of the Earth, many of them have been manipulated and created. And once people understand this solution, these dark forces have no power. If people would stop working on the genetic engineering, if people would stop going into the military, which is a mind-controlled murder machine, and recognize the rules, thou shalt not kill. You know, I mean, exactly, you have chemtrails, you have vaccinations, you have HARP, you have ELF waves, you have television subliminal programming, you have MK Ultra advanced mind control agents, all of these dark things that are going on. There are people working in these programs. You even have people in the food industry who allow people like Donald Rumsfeld, who has nothing to do with food, have his company push aspartame, which interferes with your spiritual, biological process. All of the foods that are processed, that are not live foods, are interfering with your instrument, your personality vehicle, which is to be raised into a higher vibration of consciousness. So each individual is responsible unto themselves. So it's a very deep subject, Martin, and I've been looking at your stuff, and you're covering a lot of it. It's great.
Oh, yes. Listen, I just want to know, I'm curious about your own experiences in your life that you had. In our last phone conversation, you said something about that you was back in the desert with some friends and that you had some encounters.
That was the one I told you with, I gave you a little more detail than I gave your audience, but that was the time when I was very young. I had been having the experiences with the Pleiadians at Dr. Fred Bell's house, and he wouldn't openly tell me what was going on. It was like 10 years later he opened up to me a little more, which was really happening, but I was having kind of some out-of-body experiences, literally, where I was going on board spaceships and being shown different things, which are images, and I wasn't, I'm a very nuts and bolts, I'm a skeptical kind of guy. I need a lot of proof before I come forward. And this gentleman came out, Gabriel Green, remember I told you, he called me and said, you're going to have a teacher come. I went out into Gabriel Green's house with several other people, and this gentleman who was there, he claimed to have worked on an underground base in Arkansas for the... with the Greys. Some of these fallen ETs who abduct people and do the negative things, that kind of stuff, part of the government neo-Nazi world takeover program. And they put all of these agents under mind control, but this guy broke his mind control. He didn't like what they were doing. And they said, oh, you broke your mind control? Well, that's it. You're going to Leavenworth, which is the military prison. And he says, fine, I'm not going to do this anymore. He was in prison, brooding. He was like, oh, I don't care. I'm not going to work for them anymore. They can put me in jail for 15 years. I'm not doing this. And it was late at night. He said there were three guards. One guy was on a typewriter, and there were two guards, one at the front entrance and one in the hallway by the cells. He said everyone in the building went to sleep. Those that were standing up were pushed up against the wall like an invisible hand, and gently let to the ground. Their helmets came off, their guns fell down. He said a woman, a blonde, a very hot, sexy woman, came in through the door in a silver space suit. She placed her hand over the lock like Daniel was taken out of the prison in the Christ time, and she said, she looked him in the eye, and she said, we like the way you think, and we're going to help you. So by him stepping forward into the truth, they knew his character. He was willing to go to jail for the truth for 15 years. So they decided to break this guy out, and he developed his spiritual powers, and he was definitely in telepathic communication. But they broke him out. He said it was snowing on the ground. They walked outside, and as they got near a corner, she looked at him. She said, we'll be in contact again. We're going to help you, she said again, and then she said, follow the light. And she took a step around the corner. He didn't see her, but she disappeared. As he went around the corner, her footprints in the snow ended. And just as he was worried, what am I going to do? I've just broken out of jail.
Yes.
A small light appeared, probably a 3-inch probe, and it was light, and it, like a flashlight, it led him out through security. At the time I had met him in 1980, he had been on the run for a year. Not on the run. They basically protect him. He's one of the people that they do monitor everything. And he goes around to people like me, novices, to help them understand what's happening. And he stepped out of this room, and he came out. He was kind of doing some strange stuff with a guy, like a healing with his hands. And I said, "What are you doing?" He says, "I'm doing a healing." And I looked at him. I said, "Do you see auras?" And he looked at me and said, "Yes, I do." At that point, he started doing some different readings on different people in the room. And to make a long story short, I said, I was very young at this time. I didn't understand the interdimensional nature of the UFOs. He says, "Well, they're ships. They can settle into the building." And as he said this, the entire building started to, it was like there was a golden light raining down. And I felt this intense sense of peace and love and calm raining down. It was as if a shield of light had been protecting me from all the negativity of the world. And everyone in the room felt this. We all looked at each other, and there was a special feeling of communion and a sense of purpose and hope. And the mighty presence of God, the creation, was within the room. And at that moment, I knew that a ship had either beamed its light down onto us. They have advanced technologies. Many of these ETs have the ability to, they live very long lifespans as far as we are concerned. And in many ways, they have achieved a level of immortality. They can renew their physical bodies. And this gift is available to us, but why prolong the life of a being that's so negative and caught up in violence and aggression? So we have to evolve ourselves and commit ourselves to the principles of peace, love, brotherhood, nonviolence, sharing, allowance. These things must come first, and these little accoutrements of the material world will come later. The earth is a school. It's a process whereby the soul is evolving. And, you know, there are different views within the Galactic Federation. They argue amongst themselves on how to deal with us. Some of them, they don't want us out there. They think we're dangerous. We're very violent. We're genetically, our lifespans are shortened. We're a very aggressive people. We're actually manipulated to be that way. But, so with these things in mind, the next day, this guy took me out into the desert with Gabriel Green, a guy named Michael L. Legion, and myself, and he took us down these roads. He goes, "Let's go 2.3 miles and turn right." We went out, and he basically guided us out into the desert where I had that experience that I told you. The ship came down, it rained light, and I had a telepathic communication with a female, and she said to me, "Well, now you know, Rob." And I was crying, and because I was very, you know, wondering if I'm going crazy with this UFO thing. She says, "No, you're not crazy, and we're here, and it's real." And I said, "Well, how can I help? This is the most amazing thing." And she said, in my mind, she said, "Tell this experience to other people, and they will know the truth of your experience, and continue in your healing work." I do massage. I heal with my hands. So from that experience, I knew, and the military guy looked at me after my telepathic experience. He says, "Are we done here?" And I said, "Yeah." So he basically had showed me that they're real. And shortly after that, I had several experiences where Gabriel Green, I was up at his house once, and he says, "Oh, you know, they really like the 50s. They like the Bobby Soxers. They like the 57 Chevys, and they like the clothes of that era." And then shortly, like within 20 minutes, I went to the store, and a perfectly manicured 57 Chevy came up with three kids that, you know, none of them were over 25. They all looked very handsome and beautiful. One even they were wearing the Bobby Soxers, the penny loafers, you know, the whole thing. And it was an introduction to them saying, "Look, you know, we look just like you, have no fear, we're friendly." They looked at me, they smiled at me, and they drove off. It was like saying, "Look, we're going to meet you, but we're not going to open our hands and shake hands with you. It would be dangerous, and you'd get egotistical about it." They just did this little, I call it like a drive-by. So I've had several of those experiences where I have those experiences with them, and then later in my meditation it's revealed to me. Some people could call this delusional, but, you know, in my mind it's absolutely a reality based on my own personal experience. But again, it's not about me and my personal experience, although I hope that the truth and the veracity and the intensity of what I'm saying here can be conveyed to your listeners to give them hope and faith. And I will say this, that the key to the spiritual life, as according to Commander Valiant Thor, there are 12 virtues that open the door to the Christ consciousness within the individual. And they reflect in the astrological signs as patience, loyalty, perseverance, honesty, continence, charity, faith,
integrity,
courage, charity, faith, humility, there's the 12 virtues. Everyone knows the 12 virtues are loyalty, faith, charity, courage, honesty, patience, perseverance, humility, and continence, and temperance.
Yes.
You know, moderation in food and drink. And they haven't, different groups of the Bible and all these spiritual groups, the sexual importance of sex has been grossly misunderstood and confused on the earth, and it's very important. The power of the reproduction is taken very seriously in advanced cultures. One for the development of the child and the importance of the balance to have a mother and a father and to live a spiritual life. Our sexual understanding is based in ego and sense gratification of the lower personal nature and has no basis in universal law and principle. And this is a hard one for people to get because of the free love. And sex is not dirty, but it's to be understood. And the procreational abilities are very important. All the religions kind of skew it into an evil thing, but, you know, it is an important thing. And the older I get, the more aware I am of this, of the importance of that.
Well, I must tell you, Robert, that I'm quite young. I'm 34 years old, but with all the sex industry and everything that's coming on our way, it's very difficult to have a healthy vision of universal love and unconditional love, and how it is related to sexuality. I must tell you, there's so much disgusting things going on, because I'm not saying that sex is disgusting. Of course, it's wonderful, but the way that the media is manipulating young people, it's really amazing. It's very difficult to have a helicopter view, to step out of this tunnel vision.
I agree with you, Martin. Women are objectified, and the entire process of the media is done on purpose, because that keeps the mongrelization of humanity down. Now, it's one of the reasons that the old world type of culture so rejects the Western, is because it does denigrate and degrade the family life and the moral values. And yet at the same time, the excitement of the Western or the new, you know, view of it is so alluring that many youngsters turn away from the chastity. And I'm not saying the parents should arrange marriages and stuff like that, but the understanding of the importance of commitment and integrity, especially in a relationship, you know, is very important.
Yes. So yes, I agree. Yes, you're totally right. But Robert, we only have maybe 2 minutes left before we have to close up. You have so much material, so much things that you can share. So maybe in the future we can do a second interview where we can talk about many other subjects and things that are interesting for the listeners. But I must tell you, it was really amazing. It's almost finished. I cannot believe it.
I know. I can really talk. I can let you ask more questions next time. I do have lots of information about the pyramids, the Agarthan network, of the seven sacred cities where the White Brotherhood invites people of the Earth. And I will say that the Commander Valiant Thor also recommends that people develop themselves according to the five-pointed star of life. And the 5 points of the star are the spiritual, the physical, the mental, the financial, and the social aspect. And everyone should develop themselves along these lines. If you become too spiritual, you become bigoted and closed-minded. If you become too physical, you become a muscle head. You know what I mean? If you become too social. So balancing yourself is important.
Balance is the most important, to be centered. Before we finish, Robert, there is a question from Luke. He's a friend from me from the Netherlands. He is asking me to ask you, how do you see it that different groups of light workers, extraterrestrial light workers, like the Galactic Federation, how they monitor the Earth? And because he heard that some groups will take steps to force disclosure, and he is asking you if that is true.
Well, their disclosure is here. The reality is it's like a game called bridge. You have a trump card, or it's like having a royal flush in poker. The reality is they exist, and nothing can stay the reality and the truth of their interaction. The fact that they're here, the disclosure is going to come to each individual on their own. Eventually, yes, we're going to use disclosure. I wouldn't look for it from the governments or the media. I would see that being pulled from them like you would pull teeth from a muscle man. It's going to be a very difficult process, and it will be manipulated and controlled. There are different elements within the government that are have their own space program. Know that they've landed on Mars in 1962. They've been kicked off the moon, but there are many different ET groups. Two primarily, the Galactic Federation and the Alliance are the good guys, and you have the Omegans and the Calrans, and another group which have aligned forces in negativity to overcome, to control the planet. And they're deeply entrenched in finance, media, military, science, education, charity groups, and the world's elite. So these world's elite are very pampered and very spoiled, and many of them do not know what they're being used for. They have no idea of the devastation that's planned for this planet, but it will not be allowed to happen. So in faith and in truth and in peace and in light, the light workers go forward, raise your vibration, ignore the dark force, don't give it any power, be aware of it, do not become a victim, and move forward into positive, share the information and truth. Share the advanced technologies. Eventually, they'll stop killing and murdering and stopping the projects. We don't need gasoline. We have free energy. The government's got a space program. People will die when they find out how they've been lied to, how the U.S. military has been dealing cocaine and heroin for, 50 years. People will be very upset. Many of these people who want to tell the truth now are afraid for their lives, that they'll be strung up by the lampposts. So this process of disclosure is difficult. You're seeing arrests and people retiring, and let's pray for the light, Martin.
Let's pray for the light. I want to thank you very much, and also from the listeners, Robert, and hope to have you back soon, okay?
Absolutely. Love to talk to you again. God bless you.
All right. God bless you. Bye-bye, Robert.